Well, friends, today, at this point, I want to introduce our series, our new series, At Home with Jesus, Four Keys of Faith Conversations. Friends, do you ever wonder about the legacy that you're leaving behind, about what you are passing on to the next generations? Do you ever wonder about that? As I get older, I wonder about it more. What important things do you want your loved ones to get from your life? How are you modeling or encouraging or helping that to happen? Truth is, one day my kids are going to walk away from my funeral. Question is, what if my example or influence is going to walk away with them? About relationships and values, about their identity, security and destiny, about what it means to do life with Jesus. Let me tell you, I am not a perfect dad. The demands of parish ministry and my desire to do things well has often meant my family have received leftovers of my time and attention. In spite of my inadequacies, I keep hoping and praying that our shared life will encourage their life with Jesus for the rest of their lives. The question is, well, how? How does that happen? One thing's for sure, it's not going to happen by magic. It's not going to happen by putting it in the too hard basket and doing nothing. It won't happen if I ignore them because I'm too busy with other things. It won't happen if we never talk about the good things of God, if we never pray together, or if we never talk about the things of God together. Growth never happens in a vacuum of nothing. Friends, I think many of us struggle with learning and sharing the language of faith and hope and love in our households. And I think this is fairly universal. We find it easier to talk about the things we're doing and interested in, our passions, but somehow we find a stumbling block about, actually, well, where do you think Jesus is in this? Or what do you think Jesus might have to say to this? Or how about we pray about that? There seems to be a stumbling block from talking about the everyday things into the deeper things and where God is in our everyday lives. And friends, if we can't do that in our own homes with the people we know and love and trust, well, then how are we going to make Jesus known in our wider community? Okay, question then. How do we learn the language of faith and hope and love? Answer? Well, like you learn any language, by practicing. Hands up if you have learnt to speak a different language than your mother tongue fluently. All right, a different language? Okay, I bet you didn't learn to speak it really fluently by spending 1 hour in a classroom a week. No? You're still learning, okay. If we want to learn to speak the language fluently, we actually need to speak it in our household or with friends, or we go to a culture where we are immersed in it and have to speak it all the time. That's the easiest way to learn a language, to be immersed in it. Friends, in the same way, learning the language of faith demands more than just sitting in a church service for 1 hour a week. What happens in our homes will determine, will largely determine whether the people we do life with will learn the language of faith and life in Jesus and whether they pass it on to the next generations. Kathy highlighted last week that many of us lament that we have loved ones that are not walking with Jesus or connecting with his church. And we feel a sense of embarrassment or sorrow or shame about that. Because we want them to know the joy of Jesus in this life and into eternity. But this series isn't about beating us up. It's going, okay, well, let's work out some ways we can do this in the future. Because your influence doesn't just affect your children and friends. Your influence continues to ripple like ripples in a pond to affect people for hundreds of years. A couple of years ago, Joe shared about one of your ancestors who was sharing his hopes and prayers and dreams for his descendants. And he wrote that in 1760. And here we are, 260 years later, and Joe gets to rejoice in that. Friends, that's the sort of influence I want to have. How about you? Would you like to have an influence like that? Well, this series, At Home with Jesus, Four Keys of Faith Formation, is about working to make our homes places where it becomes natural to speak the language of faith and hope and love. And we're going to look at four keys. Today is caring conversation, week two, God talk in all its forms. Now, week three, family rituals and traditions, and week four, family acts of service. Research indicates that where these four things are regularly happening in a household, it improves the chances of the children of our household getting to know and love and keep doing life with Jesus well into their adult years. Today's theme, caring conversation. Would you please join me as we commit this series to God in prayer? Father God, we thank you that you are with us always and wanting to do us good. And you've said in your word about passing these things on to the next generation. Tell your children these things, practice these things, remind each other of these things. And Lord, we are sorry and grieved that there are loved ones of our children and godchildren and grandchildren who have somehow missed that. And it fills our hearts with pain. Lord, we ask you to have mercy on us and our loved ones. Put people in their paths who can point them to you and help our example and our love and our blessing and our favour be instruments, Lord, to point them to you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to turn things around in our church and in this congregation and in our homes. Give us the humility and courage to learn and to speak the language of faith. Let there be a renewal here at Good Shepherd, Lord, across the generations, in the love of Jesus that seeks to connect and pass on the faith and share it and enjoy it with the next generations. Lord, let your kingdom come in us and through us to the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. Kathy Levy is going to talk a little bit about caring conversation today.
Morning, everybody. This morning I thought I'd just share with you all what caring conversations look like in my household. So my household consists of four adults, a family, and our caring conversations happen in a different way now compared to when the kids were younger. So initially our caring conversations tended to happen around the dinner table, and that's where my husband had an opportunity to hear about what was happening in the children's days and lives. And it was always important to me as a mum that that was one way we could stay united as a family. In the evenings, I would then, with the kids, we'd have a bedtime devotion. If there was anything that had come up from their day that they hadn't thought to tell me previously, then they'd tell me then, and then we could pray about that together. And I just think back now, what a precious time that was to pray for what was on their little hearts. Now, our caring conversations look very different. I can't remember the last time we actually sat around the table and had dinner together. We just don't do that anymore. So what happens now is our caring conversations tend to happen in the kitchen. So someone in the evening is cooking dinner because we all need to eat. And it's also a place where each family member, when they come home, they come straight into the kitchen. So again, as a mum, it's important to me to know what's going on in the lives of my kids and my husband, and that's where these caring conversations happen. We can talk about the challenges they might have had during their day. Maybe there's some celebration that they had during the day. And sometimes someone will come home with an issue that they don't know how to handle, so we can sort of talk about that and share that together and help them to sort it out. I have one family member who does believe that Jesus has saved him and that God is with him, and it's been really good over the last couple of years. He was actually planning to go to Japan, had everything booked and ready, and then the pandemic happened, so he had to cancel the whole lot. So for the last 2 years, he's just been waiting to get over there and begin his dream. And so it's been really good over the last couple of years to just encourage him that God is with him and he is sovereign and his timing is perfect and God has a plan for him. So it's wonderful to be able to encourage him in that. He knows that, we all know that, but we just need to be reminded of that. And my other two family members, we don't really talk a lot about Jesus, but they know that if they ever need to, I'll be ready.
Thank you, Kathy. So today's Bible readings, there's two of them. One is from Matthew, and in it we find out how seriously God takes children, how important they are to him. So reading from verse 1. At that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the little child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." That's a bit confronting. And then from verse 10. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any one of these little ones should perish." And the second reading is from Ephesians, and it speaks of how we are to encourage one another. Ephesians 4, verse 29. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." We're going to have a short video clip now.
Hi, I'm Jodie and I work for Grow Ministries, and we want to share with you a great way to encourage faith using the four keys.
Christian values and faith are passed on to the next generation when they are seen in action.
Faith becomes real when others can see God working in our lives.
The first of the four keys is caring conversations. God desires that our faith is not just a set of beliefs to nod yes to on a Sunday, but something living and active that is discussed and shared in daily life. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 19, it says, "We are to teach these commands to our children, talking about them when we sit at home and when we walk along the road, when we lie down and when we get up.
As you can hear, this is pretty much all the time.
So let's be intentional and initiate conversations about our faith and how God is in every part of our life. A simple way to get started might be to share our highs and lows each day, or share what we are thankful to God for. We have been doing caring conversations in our family for quite a while now. The children were definitely younger when we started. It has become so much part of who we are as a family that as parents we are often reminded by the kids to take the time to share our highs and lows. Caring conversations are a small part of our day when we can give each other our undivided attention, when we take the time to really listen to each other. Making this space in our day for each other has encouraged open communication and a safe place to share what's happening in our lives. We mostly share our highs and lows at mealtime, but other times work well too, like when doing the dishes, out walking, or in the car. In your caring conversations, listen closely. It is important to provide space to ask questions and respond to each other, showing God's love and understanding. Bring God into these conversations by praying together.
I encourage you, together with your family and friends, or even your small group, to find ways to get your caring conversation started. If you would like some help in this area, please feel free to visit our website. We've got some great resources there.
Okay, now we're going to get into today's topic, caring conversations. And I want to start off with a question. How is faith passed on? How did you catch it? I've got a couple of questions I'd like you to talk about with a person next to you, a friendly person near you. Think of one person who helped you get to know Jesus. What was it about that person that impacted you the most? Have a chat about that for a couple of minutes. Okay, we might just have a little pause there, but stay where you are because I'm going to ask you another question a little bit later on, unless you'd like to find a different buddy. Hands up, how many of you talked about a parent or a grandparent? Oh, that's a lot, isn't it? How many of you talked about a relative or a close friend? All right, less, significantly less. How many of you talked about a pastor? Oh, okay, a few. So, but did you notice the most hands went up for parent or grandparent? Regardless of who it was, chances are that person took an interest in you, wanted to know how things were in your world, encouraged you, and helped you to become the person you are. Faith is passed on and nurtured through trusted personal relationships. It doesn't happen apart from relationships, and caring conversations are all about building those relationships, yes? So I just wanted to set that up. And here's a definition of caring conversations. Caring conversations express an interest in others, their hurts, their joys, their concerns and dreams, their values and faith. So interested in the other person. Caring conversation requires time to be available to listen and to speak. I'm going to press into all those things in the next few minutes. Proverbs 25 says, "Someone's thoughts may be as deep as the ocean, but if you are smart, you will discover them." A person's thoughts and attitudes and beliefs and values, they're a bit like water in a deep well, yes? Now, a loving and wise person will work out how to get a bucket down that well to draw those things up from that other person, yes? Okay, then the question is, well, how? By gently asking questions, not interrogating them, and listening carefully to their answers. A good question or a series of good questions draws out people's thoughts and feelings, and as we listen, it's not with the view to correct them or teach them, nor is it about just simply waiting for the opportunity to pounce in with our stories or our experiences. No, 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 no. As tempting as that is for us extroverts, the goal is to seek to understand how things are in the other person's world. It means being present for them and giving the other person an unhurried and undivided attention. And when we listen like that, it speaks volumes. You matter to me. You and your stories matter to me. Well, let's have a go at it. With one other friendly person, I invite you to share a high and a low of your last week. It can be as shallow or as deep as you feel comfortable with. Okay, I'll give you a minute or two for that, and then we'll have another thing, but don't move away. Okay, now, not wanting to intrude, but here's the next thing. How about we invite God into those highs and lows? I'd invite you, just to pray about, thank you, God, for the other person's high this week, that you've been helping them and encouraging them, and pray for God to support them and help them the low, just briefly. All right? All right. Okay. How did that go? Was it difficult? Might have been a little bit uncomfortable for some of us. But was it impossible? No. I think when you find it difficult, just think, this is an act of love where I can bless someone. This is a way we can bring God in to the situation. See, I think any couple or family or small group could do this, whether it's at the dinner table or at bedtime or breakfast time, driving to school or work. Anytime you're together with someone, you can just talk about your highs and lows, and okay, well, would you like me to pray about that with you? Interesting how things happen when we start to talk about our highs and lows. It gives us a sense of connection, a sense of belonging, a sense of a shared journey that, I'm not alone in what I'm going through. It fulfills our yearning for human connection. When we share a joy, the other person can celebrate with us because it's almost impossible to have a party for one. And when you share a sorrow, there's a relief that, I'm not carrying this burden on my own. Someone else knows about it and cares about me in this burden. And when we share a sorrow, there can be a sense of relief. And even if there's snot and tears with sharing that burden or that sorrow, afterwards there's a sense of relief and endorphins get into your bloodstream and you feel much better afterwards. Yeah? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It fosters openness and vulnerability. And I reckon we all want those sorts of things in our relationships, don't we? Yeah. And what happens when we invite God into our highs and lows? Well, the creator of the universe comes in. in a fresh and new way. It's how we can bless people in Jesus' name. You see, friends, Jesus connects with the other person's heart through your heart and my heart. Your caring and your sharing with that other person, it prepares the ground of their hearts. And all of a sudden you are on holy ground. Ground that's ready for a word of God, a word of encouragement, a word of blessing, a word of prayer. After sharing a joy or sorrow, I invite you and challenge you to think about, would you like me to pray with you about that? Or how about we ask God to help us with that? Look for an opportunity or ask for an opportunity to pray. Owen. Okay, that one's saying that the copy of the Lutheran's got all sorts of practical suggestions for how to bless and help your neighbours, and it might be a conversation starter. Thank you, Owen. Now, where was I? Praying, okay. See, the devil doesn't want prayer to happen because he shakes when he knows that Christians pray in Jesus' name because Jesus is more powerful. But here's the thing. It always feels weird to suggest it. Let's just get that out in the open. It always seems weird to suggest it. But let me tell you something. When prayer is gratefully received, it never ever feels weird afterwards. Especially when snot and tears happen. Because the Holy Spirit is there doing a restoring work and a healing work and a renewing work. And you know what? When I've offered to pray with people, I reckon I've been declined less than that many times in my whole ministry. Because most people want God to come in and to help them and to bless them. And if we're talking with believers, we should always be open to it and welcome to it. Amen. Oh, can I pray with you about that? The baton of faith is passed on through trusted personal relationships. All it requires is a little bit of love and a little bit of time to give focused attention. Now, many households are so busy that being together, simply being together to share their hearts and stories, gets squeezed out. And I get how that happens because I'm guilty of it. You know the song Cats in the Cradle? You familiar with that song? Cats in the Cradle? A bloke's telling his story. He tells his story that he was so busy that he couldn't be there when his son was born. He was too busy to be at home to see his son take his first steps of walking. He was too busy at his son's 10th birthday to throw ball with his son. And now the man is retired and he laments. He calls his son on the phone and says, "It'd be good to see your son." And the son says, "Well, I'm sorry, Dad, I don't really have time, but it's been good talking to you, Dad." And there's this summary line there in this song. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And then at the end of his life, he realizes, duh, I could have done something a lot better. Yeah, I get, friends, that time is a precious commodity. And there are two types of time. There is urgent time and essential time. And it's really important that we know the difference. Urgent time screams at us at the start of the day, get cracking because you've got a lot to do today. Urgent time is full of guilt, panic, condemnation, and the sentence of death. Urgent time is often the first lament of the morning. Oh, beep, 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 I'm running late. Urgent time, it enslaves us to endless activity in order to justify our own existence. Urgent time, it shows no mercy. It never lets up. It beats us up and grinds us down and stresses us out. Do any of you know what I'm talking about there? Am I the only person that has the problem with this? All right, well, what's essential time? Essential time is the ebb and flow gift of kingdom life with Jesus. Nowhere in the Gospels have I ever read Jesus was in a mad panicking rush to do da-da-da-da-da. Nowhere. It says that Jesus resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem, but you never get the impression that he's panicking or anxious or in a rush. He makes time for many people and groups along the way. Friends, we know that we've been chosen in Christ before the world began. We know of things beyond the urgent, things eternal, things truly essential to give life purpose and meaning. Essential time, it whispers to us. Invites us to enjoy, to notice, to pause. Essential time calls us to be refreshed and renewed regularly. And so, friends, I submit to you that worship, family, and close friendships fall into this category, not of urgent time, but of essential time. Essential time, that's what's needed to grow in the good things of God, to strengthen relationships, to engage in meaningful conversations, and to model the example of Jesus to the next generations when we are living to the rhythms of essential time. And the truth is that children need connection. We all do, yes? And for some children and for some people, focused and hurried time is their primary love language. It's how they gauge whether or not they are loved by the amount of quality, focused, unhurried time you share with them. Friends, the truth is, most children want their mums and dads and grandparents and trusted family friends to be interested in them. Most children want to spend time with their parents. Most children want to know what their parents think and believe. Sometimes we say, oh, I don't get to spend much time with them, but at least it's quality time. And quality time is a bit of a dangerous half-truth. If we think that 20 minutes of focused attention is going to fix a heartache that's been going for weeks or months or years, we are gravely mistaken. You see, sometimes the quantity of time leads to quality of time. Like adults, children feel their way into opening up. They've got to know, oh, is this person safe? Is the relationship strong and tender? If I reveal something, will I still be accepted? Or will I get a lecture? Essential time for caring conversation is a spiritual issue. Essential time is where we practice and pass on the language of faith and hope and love. All right, some practical suggestions of how do we do this? Number one, what things matter most to members of your family? Do you know what matters to them? If you don't take time to find out, ask some questions. Listen carefully. Share. Respond with compassion and understanding, not, I'm going to need to fix you and give you a lecture. Number two, talk time topics. Georgie has prepared a sheet of these that's out on the little round table today. They might get you talking. They've just got different questions, like talk about a time when God seemed far away. What was the first Christian song you learnt? Where or when do you feel closer to God? Opening questions like that. It might give you an opportunity to share things you don't normally talk about. Number three, after sharing the joys and sorrows of the day, look for opportunities to inject some God talk. Well, what might Jesus say or do about this? Ask the question and hang it out there and explore the answer together. Number four, suggest inviting God into the conversation. Hey, would it be all right with you if I prayed with you about this? Like I said before, most times, most people will say, yeah, that'd be all right, or yes, I'd like that. Number five, show care by writing a note of encouragement, appreciation, of thanks. It says, I've been watching you and I've noticed some things that I really like. Number six, support and encourage the gifts you see in one another. Hey, I notice you do that and you do that really well, and I want to just encourage you that it makes a big difference to the people around you. Number seven, going on holidays. Ah, high spot with my delight, it only gets you so far. I mean, we've often driven to Queensland, right? It's about 21 hours of driving from here just to Woomba. Hey, why not brainstorm some conversation topics, write them down and work through them as you are driving on the journey. It's more meaningful connection than just playing I Spy. Oh, next one. Engage in caring conversation when you're just doing some stuff together. You're out fishing or sewing or fixing things. If you're doing it with someone else, well, how's your week been? What's been the best part or the worst part of your last week? And listen and engage in conversations. All right, let's wrap this up. Regardless of our age or season in life, we can all get better at caring conversations, yes? And I want to get better at it. I want to keep getting better at it. I hope you do too. So set aside some regular time and space and attention where you can talk with the people who matter to you, whether it's after church or over a meal or a picnic in the park or at the beach or around a campfire or doing the dishes. See, dishwashers, not necessarily good things in some ways, because when you did the dishes, it's a time to talk with each other, yeah? Or anytime you're doing something together, some jobs around the house or taking a walk, raise some things, ask some questions and see what God does with it. Here's the thing, whatever you appreciate gains in value, yes? It grows in value, whatever you appreciate. When you value family members and friends to the extent that you invest regular, essential time with them, your relationships will grow and appreciate in value. And they will encounter the heart of Jesus through you and through me. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Father God, this has been a good thing today, just to share and talk with each other, pray for each other, with each other. Lord, open up our hearts to the possibilities that are in front of us every single day. The people we rub shoulders with, the people we connect with regularly. Help us to ask some questions and to listen carefully. Help us to look for opportunities where we can offer to pray with or for people. Use us as your instruments of blessings in the lives of others so they would encounter Jesus. Amen.